young man, I went riding out on the Western Plain. In the state of North Dakota, I met my Nellie Kane. I met my Nellie Kane. She was living in a lonely cabin with a son by another man. 5 years she had waited for him, as long as a woman can. As long as a woman can. I don't know, I've changed my mind. Till then I was a rambling kind. A kind of love I can't explain that I have for Nellie Kane. Well, she took me on to work that day to help her till the land. In the afternoon we planted seeds, in the evening we held hands. In the evening we held hands. And her blue eyes told me everything a man could want to know. It was then I realized that I would never go. I would never go. Well, I don't know, I changed my mind. Till then I was rambling kind. A kind of love I can't explain that I have for Nellie Kane. Many years have gone by and his son has grown up tall. I became a father to him and she became my all. She became my all. Well, I don't know, I changed my mind. Till then I was a rambling kind. A kind of love I can't explain that I have for Nellie Kane. That I have.
There we go. There's some familiar sounds there. Well, welcome everyone today to Talkin' Music. We are so pleased to have Tim O'Brien in the studio in the Bamboo Room here today. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks, Bill. It's nice to be with you on a snowy afternoon.
Yeah. Tim is in town. He's playing a show tonight, I guess, where this was going to air after the concert, but all the same, we're glad to have you in here and to hear you pick your guitar and sing us some songs and talk about what you're up to. You're going to be in, it's Payones tonight. You already did, played in Telluride earlier in the week. We have Durango for tomorrow night at the Durango Arts Center, and then the Crested Butte Arts Center on Saturday nights. But then that's it for you for Colorado.
Well, for a while, yeah. I'll be back in May for a thing with Colorado Chautauqua there in Boulder with Jamie Stone and Ron Miles and some other wonderful folks doing a collaboration and relating to Alan Lomax's field recording work. That's the next trip after this. But I keep moving. I keep moving. I keep coming back to Colorado. I lived here a long time, 22 some years, but I can't seem to stay away.
No, and you've done this Colorado kind of ski tour a number of years. I know we've had you here before, but
haven't been to Payonia in the wintertime to play, I don't think. No. It's nice to be here.
And when was the last time that you did this little, where you hit Telluride and maybe
I was here last winter about this time. I played in Durango and in Telluride.
Okay.
But this is a little more extensive. Got a few more gigs.
Yeah. Well, we're super excited that you're here for a show at the Paradise. That's a real treat.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, this project coming up, you said it's called the Roots and Branches. Where did I write that down?
Yeah, I think it's Roots and Branches. Jamie Stone organized it. Now, I don't know everybody involved. I'm acquainted with everyone. Moira Smiley is the person I haven't met, and she's a songwriter and accordion and banjo player, I believe. And then there's Margaret Glaspie, who's a fine songwriter. Greg Garrison, the bassist from, you know, lots of projects around here, and Jamie and Ron Miles and myself.
And who called you to include you in that? I think
Jamie's the spearhead. He called and said, "Would you like to do this?" And of course, it was right up my alley. I just said yes right away because people ask me what I listen to, you know, and I listen to some new groups and new things every once in a while, of course, but I keep going back to the old standbys and, you know, people like Doc Watson and Woody Guthrie and a lot of this Library of Congress stuff that Alan Lomax and his father, John Lomax, were responsible for preserving. Mm-hmm. That stuff is really kind of great touchstones for, you know, everything that follows it, really. It's all part of the bedrock of it.
Have you heard the some other redoing of the Harry Smith anthology by a bunch of artists? And it's pretty out there. It's interesting, but I don't know. How would you imagine that's you're going to embrace that?
I don't know. It's interesting because there's very talented musicians. You know, I just saw Ron Miles play with Bill Frisell and Brian Blade last Saturday in Denver at the jazz club there, and it's just so beautiful what they do. And I'm wondering what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It's like really diverse group of people that don't know each other, I don't think, very well. And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
We're just, it's like a think tank or a laboratory. And we'll just experiment with some stuff. And it's nothing new, like to go back to that stuff and kind of rearrange it. And, you know, I've done that a lot with a lot of songs.
Well, you seem like this is perfect. I would completely get why Jamie would call you. I think you'll fit in there just great, and I can't wait to hear what happens with that. I'm a huge fan of Ron Miles and Bill Frisell and all of this, so that'll sound very cool.
You know, it's funny. I think of Bill Frisell as being pretty far away from the core of what I do, you know, and yet he's been aware of what's been going on. While I've been studying what he does, he's been kind of listening in. It turns out we have something in common. We had the same guitar teacher in Denver, Dale Bruning. I took lessons from Dale for a couple of years and then came back a couple of years later and studied harmony with him. And, you know, jazz and country music and folk music, Louis Armstrong said there ain't no music but folk music. You know, you never heard a cow sing a song.
Well, excellent. And that's going to be going on. You know, I thought I wrote all this down here. Oh, that's May 9th through the 15th. So
yeah, there's a concert. There's some workshops. They're open to the public, and we're doing some stuff in schools. And then we're, I think, the last day, the 15th, there's a concert at the Assembly Hall there.
Yeah. I'm glad that I got to jump on that. Maybe I'll find out something about that myself. Okay, so then I was chatting with you before we got in here and wondering what you're up to, and just really in a general sense, but noticed that you had some time free in March, and basically what you said is you're doing a whole lot of recording. Tell me about some more of these projects.
Well, I've got a project that's looming starting next week with Daryl Scott. We made a record back in 1999 or something, and then we had some live tapes just come out this last fall. But we're going in together and trying to do it again, just mostly as a duo, although we have some helpers coming in, some special guests. We'll see if they all come together.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be fun, and we've got some good songs picked out, I think, that the two of us have written, either separately or together.
Okay.
And there's also some oldies. And it's kind of taking a little bit of an environmental direction, you know. Actually, we're trying to get John Prine, and he wants to do it. We want to sing Paradise with him, and then we have some songs that kind of follow all that. Some other stuff going on. I've got a project with some Celtic musicians brewing, too, in the summer. The late summertime, I'm going over to do some shows and then do some recording to follow up. So it'll be sort of the next installment of what the Crossing records were. That's also overdue. I've been playing with people over there for the last, the same kind of crew for about the last 10 years. And it's about time we recorded.
All right. Well, man, that's all really exciting. So if you're just joining us on the program today, you've caught Talking Music, and you're lucky enough to catch Tim O'Brien here in the studio in the Bamboo Room talking about some of the things that he has on the horizon. He's going to be a busy dude here this summer. And you know, maybe there's more to tell. I'm sure. Are you going to be at Telluride or Rocky Grass or any of the kind of the mainstays?
Yes, I'll be back for Telluride Bluegrass. I'll be playing with my own band on Friday, and then I'm playing with Hot Rise on Sunday, which is that's another recording project looming.
Right.
a lot of sort of catching up to old times this year.
And you said that Pete said like 2 years ago that you guys were working on a new CD, but you really are. This is really
this
about
time
to start
we're actually them. Yeah. This past weekend actually we spent we had about 4 days of kind of casual but intensive at times work where we were kind of finishing each other's songs and kind of we made a little iPhone voice memos of each one. We've got about 24 to pick from. We're gonna sort of hone it down to a dozen or something and make a record.
And we can we can expect to see maybe a few more Hot Rise shows than what we're used to here in the last.
I think especially
years,
once we have a product, we'll go out and showcase it. So.
Well, cool. Well, maybe it's a good time to pick another tune. Tell me about what you would like to do.
Well, I'm going to do an old standby for me anyway. Actually, Daryl and I might record this song, Brother Wind.
I made up my mind to go someplace so far away. I headed west without a sad goodbye. No hugs or tears that way. It's probably for the best. Sent cards along the way, said I was looking for a brand new life. But I never settled down, my wanderlust would always cut the ties just like a knife. Sometimes a lonesome wind, it calls out just like it knows me. And on a night like this, when I don't know where to go, it shows me the way. 'Cause he knows me, my brother Wind. He's lonely too, and he takes me. Looked ahead, I was so afraid that I'd be caught behind. Followed a crooked stream to places I have never been, and one more highway sign. And I'm like some other guys, I might count the hours till the day will end. But it's not so I can rest. For me, it's the time that's best for talking to my friend. 'Cause he knows me, my brother Wind. He's lonely too, and he takes me away. My life is gone. The only home I ever had was open road. My skin's all cracked and brown. A mirror to the desert ground in the dusty wind that always blows. And I never made a mark. I just scattered footsteps on these shifting sands. Whatever pushes me, it's something only he could ever understand. 'cause he knows me.
Oh, how nice. If you're just joining us, you're catching up with the Talkin' Music program, and today we have Tim O'Brien in the Bamboo Room. Amazing. I have a couple of questions that came to me as you were playing there, and I ask questions that maybe the general listeners probably would care less to know about, but...
I wouldn't be surprised if they're very interested the whole round subject.
Well, one thing, let me just ask you. So when you play in so many different formations, you play solo, you play duos, and the bands are always changing. When you say you're going to play Telluride with the Tim O'Brien band, is that a set band pretty much from anything that's been before, or it'll just be what it becomes for that?
Well, it's always evolving. Maybe 3 years I've played with a group that included Brian Sutton on guitar and Mike Bubb on the bass and Stuart Duncan on the fiddle. Stuart, I'm not sure if he'll be there. I haven't even asked if he's around, but Noam Pikelny has surfaced as a free agent because the Punch Brothers are dormant this year.
Okay.
And I'll be at Telluride. So he's playing some shows with me this summer. So this quartet with Noam and on the banjo and Brian on guitar, Mike on bass. And myself, it'll be kind of a bluegrassy sound, but I'm sure we can.
Now, and I feel like I've seen Noam. Is that the four piece that is the note? It's called it was Pikelny.
Well, I don't know. He's got something going.
I think
with Brian, and I'm not sure who else. I know they're doing some shows, but you know, it's funny. It's I do a lot of different things, and I just kind of, however it works, at these bluegrass events of Telluride and Gray Fox and Rocky Grass. That's the band.
Mm-hmm. And so, part of my reason to ask that is checking you out. You were playing that last tune with finger picks rather than a flat pick.
Yeah.
The first tune you played with the flat pick. Do you have to kind of plan and you take some of your songs and think how you're going to do them, or do you just know with Brother Wind, I finger pick that one, or did you have to kind of
that one? I like playing on the guitar that way. I didn't record it that way, which is it evolved into that arrangement over the years, and it's kind of where it started, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going back to that, which is good.
Do you sit and kind of try to think about the songs and figure out how you're going to present them, or does it all just happen organically?
I go in and out of sort of winging it into getting a set list and trying to figure out how to balance it and everything, and maybe I'm a little bit too much of a free spirit that way, but it's just, you know, it's just every night's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a group of musicians around, I always am thinking, well, what's the best thing to do with these wonderful players and personalities, and, you know, how best to utilize. What I really love is, you know, people like Brian and Noam and Mike, they have great natural tendencies, great voices, and, you know, they're great artists in their own right. So it's nice to sort of pick the path that we all intersect. And I really go by the philosophy, you know, if you want to hire somebody to do a job, hire them to do something they really like doing. You know, it's much easier to get it done. So I like to just, you know, be the band leader and sort of steer a little bit.
Yeah.
But not too much.
All right, great. Okay, so here's another one. Then I was curious about this. And now you said that you're considering possibly you and Daryl may record that song.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, just on a personal level, each of you have written songs, seemingly more in the past, but maybe there's stuff that's happened that I don't necessarily know about or hadn't put together. But you've written songs in Nashville that big country artists have covered, and each of you have done that. I can't say I've heard much of that lately, and or anybody picking up on any of you guys' tunes. When you have that happen, is it more deliberate? And did you try for that more, some time back, and now you're kind of more just like happy to just do whatever it is and do the songs the way you feel them and for the reasons that you want? I don't know if that's enough of a question for you to go on there.
No, that's an interesting topic, because back when, at the end of the years that Hot Rise was full time, I was kind of itching to move to something and change around, and I'd had some success with Kathy Mateus singing my songs that Hot Rise recorded, "Walk the Way the Wind Blows" and "Late in the Day," and then she did. She had a top 10 hit with Untold Stories. So I was thinking, well, oh, this is really great when this happens, because I already did the thing and I'm using the songs for my own purposes, and then somebody else gets to use them, and then I, get to buy major appliances with the mailbox money. So when it came time to sort of pull up stakes and make the next chapter, that was trying to support a family. And so I approached Nashville and sort of started pursuing that as a songwriter more. But I didn't really, I really was unsure about the climate down there, and I wasn't ready to move. And so mostly I've sort of just, it wasn't until I had established a solo career that I moved there. And then people my face was there, so people would see me and they said, "Well, you got any songs?" I said, "Yeah, I got songs. Check this out. And I've written a new one here. Check this out." So it's a very casual approach to getting those songs recorded by other people. And it's happened just enough times that it has helped to support the family, and it's also helped to enable me to just follow my nose and do what I like to do, as opposed to the sort of corporate, approach of, well, let's write a song for, Taylor Swift. She's got this kind of a thing she likes to do. Let's see if we can find that. Of course, these days you'd have to write with Taylor Swift to get her to record it. That's the way it is there these days, mm-hmm. too. So, I Not mean, just some her, of that kind of thing.
That's kind of the way it is with a lot of those. They've the bigger stars have gotten hip to the royalties and the importance of whether they're going to make that much more money.
In the case of Taylor Swift, that she's been doing. She's been writing her songs all along, and she's very good at it. But, a lot of the younger artists are looking for collaboration with the older folks. So Daryl had done a lot of that. He had some big songs with Sarah Evans that were co-writes with Sarah. But you can hear Daryl's voice. He's the experienced one more. Mm-hmm. Nothing against her. She's a great singer and a great front person. But I think he was able to pull things out of her. The collaboration was helpful. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't really go after it that way, but it happens now and again. Mm-hmm. And like with the Nickel Creek, they recorded a song. I have just every once in a while I get a nice little event like that. And Daryl Scott and I made a record called Real Time in 1998 or 1999. And I remember him pulling out a song he had found under a tarp in his shed on a cassette. It was called Long Time Gone. He said, "Is this any good?" I said, "This is great." And we recorded that song. We recorded another song that I'd written with a fellow named Gary Nicholson called More Love. We put it out on our record, and those two songs, among other ones. And then the Dixie Chicks were looking for songs, and they recorded both those songs. So, it's just we're trying to make some good songs. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because both the songs mean a lot to both of us, really. I mean, they're like, our story. They're not, playing to an audience or trying to chase any kind of trend or anything. Mm-hmm. So that becomes a good cue.
I've gotten that feeling from each of your songs. It never seems like either one of you, any songs that someone else has covered were somehow, didn't seem to come from your realm in any way. So I pretty well assumed that, but just kind of looking at you and, we had Daryl was here and played solo this past summer. For one of the concerts in the park, and so anyway, we got to see him here recently, yeah. Solo too. But just kind of seeing both of your careers, and it was just something that occurred to me that I was just thinking about and wondering you know, now you guys will do this record again. Who knows? You might have a lightning strike. What, you know?
Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of water under the bridge since then. He's in a totally different place in his career. As, you know, people know much more about him now than they did in 1999.
he was happy-go-lucky when he was here.
Yeah.
He was just on top of the world, it seemed.
He's doing great. You know, he's newly remarried, and he's taking some time off now. I think he was probably looking ahead to that because he's been between Robert Plant's band that he was with for, you know, about 2 years and putting a couple solo records out, which he promoted in between those tours. He's just been nonstop go. And he bought some land in Middle Tennessee, which he, you know, he's kind of goes up and hangs out in the trees and is kind of a bear. He kind of hibernates up there, and I think he's doing really good.
And are you living in Nashville still?
I still live in Nashville, yeah.
And so you'll record this, you'll do this recording, and then I expect you'll probably tour behind that maybe next year. And
we're trying to stage it. So we won't do anything live until next fall. But
okay.
we've got stuff started off on that.
I think I think everyone here in Paonia that was lucky enough to see the show when you and Daryl were here last, that was a real special a special deal that is referred to often in the there at the Paradise in the halls there.
That was a funny night because we had, I think it was like a Thursday night or something, and we had played in Denmark the previous weekend. And Daryl was, he was thinking, oh, I'm going to Colorado. My guitar always dries out and gets buzzy when I go to Colorado. So he said, I'll fix that. So he put a wet sock, I mean a really wet sock, inside his guitar. And when he opened it up, the action was like cheese slicer high. He couldn't play it. So we had to, hadn't opened it up since he left Denmark. So it was a miscalculation.
I thought the guitar was messed up. Besides that, what did it not bow and get? I thought it got almost destroyed.
No, it came back. By Monday morning, when we went back to Nashville, it was sorted out again. But he borrowed a guitar.
He borrowed
a guitar for that, and it got over-humidified. The thing that happened the next morning is I noticed my friend called to attention. My mandolin had a hole in the side of it, and I hadn't noticed it at the gig because it's so dark. There's very few lights backstage, and there was like one spotlight, I think. And I had this case at the time where the fiddle pegs and the side of the mandolin were adjacent. I think it got dropped by one of the, you know, United Express or some, you know, somebody putting it in the baggage because you can't. Like it was a double case, and it didn't fit in the little commuter airplane. But I didn't even notice it. There was a hole. It was basically a puncture hole in the side of the mandolin. We made it through that weekend pretty well,
right,
in spite of it.
Good. That's huge. That's a special mandolin. That was your. That's the A style. That's the one. Then what is it? Is it a Nugget? Is that what it
is?
Yeah,
Nugget mandolin.
Well, Tim. We definitely will have you play one more song up. Folks, you're tuned in to Talking Music. We've been talking with Tim O'Brien. And is there anything else maybe that I didn't cover that you would want to kind of mention to folks, or just maybe just say something in as you're done?
I don't need to say anything more, although I'm going to sing. I just thought it occurred to me to sing this song. Almost exactly a year ago, I went and got the nerve up to visit Doc Watson. I called him up and sort of germed my way into an invite after the house, and I went to his place, and he was hanging out, playing the guitar, and it was just me and him, and there was no one else there. His daughter had been there when I called on the phone, but she was gone, and we just sat and talked. And when I arrived, it was snowing. It was like a blizzard up on the Blue Ridge there. He lives right up kind of near the divide at Deep Gap, North Carolina. And really snowing, really coming down, giant flakes, and I turned off the car, and I could hear him singing this song, "While Roving on a Winter Night."
I read your blog about that earlier today, so that's cool. We'd all love to hear it. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
While roving on a winter's night and drinking that good old wine, thinking about that dear little girl stole this heart of mine. She is like a budded rose that blooms in the month of June. She's like some music instrument that's just been lately tuned.
I'll take a trip to a foreign land, perhaps to France or Spain. And if I go 10,000 miles, I'm coming back again. Well, who's gonna shoe your pretty little foot? Who's gonna glove your hand? And who will kiss your ruby lips? And who's gonna be your man? Papa will shoe my pretty little foot, and Mama will glove my hand. And you can kiss my ruby lips when you come back again. I love you till the seas run dry and the rocks all melt in the sun. But it can't be someday we'll be as one while roving on the winter's night and drinking that good old wine. Thinking about that dear little girl that stole this heart.